Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 13. Mark 7, 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I really need the prayers of everyone today because I'm so unprepared. I've had a very busy last few weeks, and I feel as though the time that Satan just did everything that he could to obstruct me from being able to complete what I wanted to do for today. I never say that I'm giving a sermon. I always say I'm sharing, which is what I feel I'm doing. I'm sharing what God has led me to study. And there was so much that I ended up coming across, and I was up to like 1:30 in the morning trying to get everything together, completed. I had to work, so that was more time taken out of my time that I wasn't expecting. I got mandated. Jeremy, he was helping me. He came over, and all through the time that we were supposed to be working together, things just did not coordinate. So I really need the prayers of everyone today. And saying that, just to show you how disruptive Satan can be, and I'm not trying to give him any glory today, but the scripture reading is actually Mark 7, 5 through 13. So I would like for us to go back and read that, because there's a reason. Amen when you're there. Okay. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "What hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites? As it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whose whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Now, of course, for me to go through all that, and it's a reason, because my title is Pagan Traditions. And we're in holiday time where there are plenty of pagan traditions around us that we should not be involved in. So I'm going to start. I like to do things with words and look up words and figure out what meanings of words are, and origination of words and so forth. And a word I want to start with today is the word church. Church is an English word that goes back to a Scottish word, kirk. And that word goes back to a Roman goddess, Circe, which goes back to a Greek goddess, Circe. All right, now I gotta work this. Just to give y'all a little something to think about. Where do I aim this thing? Yeah, it's on. Okay, there we go. That's the goddess Circe. And a little background information about her. She was, in legend, for Greek mythology, a sorceress or a witch, the daughter of Helios, the sun god, and an ocean nymph, Perse. She was able, by means of drugs and incantations, able to change the human being into wolves, lions, and swine, and then she would feed off of them. Now, in saying that, we go back to the word church, and I'm just wondering, has anyone got the correlation between the two of those things, of what I just said? The word, the actual word church, and Circe, she feeds off of them. The origination for the word church comes from a goddess who feeds off of people. When you look at the Roman Catholic Church, it's one of the wealthiest institutions in the world and has fed off of individuals since ages and ages of time. Okay? When you understand how corrupt the government is, the banks are corrupt, the law enforcement is corrupt, our educational system, it's corrupt, then you should understand that we are seriously facing a great time of judgment. And at the bottom of a lot of that corruption is the church. The church is where we have gained a lot of these other world systems, and that's why they are corrupt. The Knights Templar, who set up our international banking cartel in the 12th, 13th, and 14th century, are the same people that gave us our educational systems and our colleges. College, the word college stems from the word collegium, which is Latin College of Cardinals. When you graduate from college, you're given a black martyrboard. Do we ever question why some of these things come about? We're given that black square martyrboard because it has to do with the planet of Saturn. My biggest thing has been every time I get up to speak is to help educate, to help share so that everyone in the church is on one accord, because we know that we're living in the last days and we really need to be educated about things that are around us in the world. The world today, from 9/11 to the wars to the in Middle East, all can be traced back to the planet Saturn. The concept of it in theology plays a big part in our world's religion. And Saturn also is very important in today's world affairs. If you take Mecca, it has a Masonic circle, and inside the circle, there's a square. When you look around the world, there are many different squares. We've got town squares. We have New York Square. We have the Vatican Square. We have Red Square. We have all these different symbols and things that are around us, but we don't use any kind of real logic and look at them for what they are. All of these things, terms, symbols, they all can be traced back to the ancient world of worshiping Saturn. Saturn is called ancient times, the black square and the dark sun. Because of this, and because it is so highly worshipped back in time and has come up through the ages, it's one of the reasons why when you look at priests and when you look at judges, they wear a black robe. And when you graduate from a college, you wear a black robe, because black is what is the representation, that color is what represents the priesthood of the planet Saturn. And I don't know if anyone is familiar with the term Saturnalia brotherhood, but that is all part of wearing black in terms of the worship of Saturn. Saturn was the god of darkness, chaos, and destruction. And the old Phoenician worship of the planet Saturn was one of the most important gods of all ancient time. His symbol came long before the Hebrews ever entered into the land of Cana. And when you look at the six-pointed star stems from Saturn, but we refer to it as the Star of David, and it has nothing to do with David. I think I'm supposed to be clicking this thing for something, but I'm not sure yet. I'm not going to worry about it right now. When you look in reference books for the Jews and in their encyclopedias, you'll see that there's about 98% of all Judaism that worships the planet Saturn. I'm a studier, and by nature, I'm always just very fascinated with different things, different religions. Because I feel that when I look at those things and I study them, it helps me to understand more, and it grounds me more in what the truth is of what I believe in the Word of God. We have to be careful about what it is that we believe, because a lot of the things that we believe only because we've been told that it's the truth, and we don't seek it out ourselves to actually find out and understand if it really actually is the truth. Not researching something or just going by what somebody tells you is no excuse for not knowing what the truth really is. And God will hold us accountable for all light that we have and all light that we can have. This is why I always emphasize that we ought to be a people that studies and studies and studies, and that knows inside and out what it is that we believe, because the Word of God says that when somebody asks us something, in James it says, we need to be able to give account for what it is that we know. We should be able to give an answer. Why do you do this? Blah, blah, blah. Why don't you do this? Blah, blah, blah. We should be able to say and firmly be able to stand on whatever it is that we believe. My intent today, and I've been wanting to speak on this for a long time, is not to hurt anybody's feelings, not to point a finger at anyone, not to condemn or come down on anyone, but to enlighten everybody about things that we do that are not of God. Whether we know it, whether we don't know it. And hopefully, my heart really hopes that in me sharing these things, that people will take an honest, honest look at themselves. Hear what the Lord is saying to you. And do not hold back if God is telling you that there is something that you need to change. And not be afraid of changing, because it goes against the norm. God says we're supposed to be a peculiar people, which means we're supposed to get questioned. We're not supposed to be like everybody else that you see out in the world. We're not supposed to do those same things that everybody else does in the world. If we're not getting questioned, then how different do we really appear to other people that are in the world that we're supposed to not be like? So I'm hoping with my heart that people really, really take what I say to heart and go home, do your own research, to not know what it is that we believe is no excuse with all the technology that's out there. The library is full of information for us to know, and there's no reason why we should even say that we don't have any time, because for frivolous things, we spend plenty of time doing things that have nothing to do with the building up of our soul. And so I pray that people take what I say today in the way that I'm trying to present it, that we can all be on one accord, because God willing, if I make it to heaven, I want to see many other familiar faces there too. The word holiday means religious festival, and it's a holy day. It means holy day. And in the Roman Catholic realm, Christmas has been considered as such a holy day. The word Christmas is derived from Christ Mass. And in the Catholic tradition, the word Mass is a ceremonial slaying of Jesus over and over and over again, and then ends in eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It's got nothing to do with the birth of Christ. It's an act of sacrifice, which is then followed by an act of cannibalism. During the time of the Reformation, there were many people who were burned at stake for not confessing and admitting that what they were taking was real flesh of Christ and real blood of Christ. They only looked at it as a symbol, and those individuals were persecuted. Some were martyred. The offshoot of the Roman Catholic Church, we know, is Protestants, and they protested, which is where they get their name from, because they refused to admit in something that they felt was just a symbol of the body of Christ and his blood. But the church wanted them to actually admit and say, no, this is Christ's real blood, this is Christ's real body. And there were those, like I said, that refused to admit that. My question is, why would I want to kill my God and then eat it? It doesn't make any sense. What could it do for me? But this is what was done in the Roman Catholic Church. Christmas is a religious holiday despite all the commercialism and modern celebration. It's a time when a deity is remembered and honored. Christians celebrate the birth of Christ at this time and say that Jesus is the reason for the season. And we talk about putting Christ back into Christmas, but the problem is Christ was never in Christmas, and we know that. Originally, when Christmas began, it started with the pagan year. And the pagan year is a period of days, months, and times that revolve around the seasonal changes of the earth and are usually in the winter, spring, and summer, and fall. The winter solstice is a day or a period of days in which the winter days are shorter and the nights are longest. This is usually the time of feasting, drunkenness, revelry, debauchery, and all kind of perversions. Just going back, that's the wafer that is supposed to be recognized as Christ's real body, but it's just a wafer. This is Saturn. During this time of the winter solstice, the pagans believed that the sun would die during the winter solstice and rise to be reborn again. And from death, the sun would die, and then it would be reborn, and it would happen from the revolving of the sun. And in nature, they called this time Saturnalia. And it stemmed from December 17th to December 24th, and it ended on December 25th. This is a time that it could be recognized that the sun was beginning to turn more northward again, thus saying that the sun was being reborn, because you could then begin to see that the days were becoming longer. This is a festival of Saturnalia, which was considered the sun god. Odd that in ancient times they would consider Saturn to be the sun, but it was the first planet that they had in their view, and because of the fact that it had somewhat its own source of light coming from it, they believed that it was the sun. And so it became the first thing that they ended up worshiping in the heavens. At this time, December 25th, all sun deities were supposedly born at this time. And there's a few I'm sure that you guys know: Mithra, Krishna, Vishnu, Osiris, Horus, Hercules, Dionysus, Bacchus, Tammuz, Indra, Buddha. All of these were considered sun gods. Behind all pagan deity worship is Satan, and he will accept whatever name that you want to call him, whether it's Baal, Moloch, Marduk, Venus, Odin, Aphrodite, Ishtar, which is where we get the name Easter, Zeus, Amun-Ra, Ahura, Mazda, Dagon. The list goes on. It's the most important day in the life of Satan worshipers because of the birthday that they can celebrate. And for about 4,000 years, Satan has been getting his full share of celebration. Satan is the original designer of astrological religious patterns, and he has deceived man from the beginning of time into worshiping him through the sun. A look at a reference, let me see, let's turn to Genesis 10. Can get there. In Genesis 10, I want to go to chapter 6. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 6, because I want to look at where this stems from. Verse 6 says, "And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan." Now, Cush is the one we're trying to look at. If you go to verse 8, it says, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh in the city of Rehoboth and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city." Nimrod, his grandson, grandson of Ham, the son of Noah, he was known for being the founder of what's known as the Babylonian mysteries, or the mysteries of Babylon. He was a great warrior. I don't know if anyone has ever noticed back may have been like around the 16th century, where the head ornaments that they would wear, they would have horns on them, because he was a great hunter, and in his time what they would do is when he would kill something that had horns, he would take it and he would wear it on his head as a show of his power and strength and his conquest over them. So it became a tradition back in the day for people to wear horns on their heads in their headdress. Nimrod was deified as Saturn. Saturn and Satan are the same word in early Latin and in late Latin. Let me see. Let me get my words right. One word is for in early Latin, and the other word is for in late Latin, the word Saturn and Satan. They're interchangeable. Saturn and mystery are both Chaldean words, and they are correlative terms. As mystery signifies the hidden system, Saturn signifies the hidden god. The word satyr, S-A-T-U-R, is the goat-legged, half-man, half-goat deity. And it usually had a head, pon was the other part of it. In English, it's spelled S-A-T-Y-R. I have it somewhere, but there is a reference made of it in the Bible, and God talks about it. But the Oxford Dictionary identifies it as Saturos in Greek. This in the Bible, when it refers to Saturn as the goat, is the goat that we know of, which is Azazel. Okay, Isaiah, if you turn to Isaiah 13, it identifies Saturs as belonging to Babylon. There we go. I'm all over the place. Isaiah 13 and verses 19 to 21. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Neither shall shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. In their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. Looking at things that have to do with Babylon and Satan, paganistic stuff. Okay, back to Saturnalia, the festival. The festival was supposed to be a way of honoring the sun god. In Rome, sun worship was a religion for men only, and its featured initiational ceremony for the devotees was for them to be baptized in the blood of a sacrificed bull. How many of you men out there would like to just jump into a pool of blood? And this is what they did as part of the initiation. It was something that all of the participants had to do. This is one of the things that they did to pay homage to the sun god. they had to give tribute every first day of the week, which is Sunday. The Saturnalia was named for Saturn, otherwise also known as Cronus, which another name for Cronus is Tammuz, and we've all heard of the name Tammuz. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 8, and we're looking at verse 15. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than this. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. These are elders in the church that we're looking at, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped. What did they worship? They worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, meaning they have changed the laws, the commandments of God, to seek out their own traditions, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to the nose. I'm going to explain that. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Back in the day when they were worshiping Saturn, and I'm going to get to this, because this is a picture of Saturn, the god Saturn. And you see what he's eating? When, and we all know this, that they sacrificed children to their gods. And in order for them to deal with the smell of the burning flesh, they had special branches that they would put to their nose to be able to endure the scent, the stench of the flesh burning. And so God was very unpleased with this. They're putting the branch to the nose. They're literally trying to find a way to continue to sin and endure the sin. It wasn't a light thing. I couldn't imagine being back then and having to put my arms, my child, in the arms of Moloch, Baal, Odin. I can't see it. But one of the main things that the children of Israel did was turn to sun worship when they fell out of good standing with God. And they too were a part of giving their children over as a sacrifice. And that's why you see Saturn eating a child. It was given him as a sacrifice. It's believed that Tammuz is Nimrod reborn. And I don't know how many people are familiar with this story. Nimrod was actually killed by his granduncle Shem as punishment for starting a new religion apart from worshiping God of heaven. And the wife of Nimrod, Semiramis, stated that when her husband Nimrod died, his spirit went into the sun, and a ray of light from the sun overshadowed her, and she became pregnant with her son Tammuz. Does any of that sound familiar when you think about the Virgin Mary? And she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and then she had this child, Jesus. The Catholic Church has tried to combine so many different things, but this is what they have done. You have the paganistic thing, and they connect it to the Virgin Mary to try to make it more accepted. and putting Christ into Christmas. But this is who we are actually dealing with when we talk about Christmas, who we're actually giving homage to. Around this time that this whole thing took place with Semiramis was around the time of the winter solstice. Let me see. This is a temple, like they had all temples, and this was the temple of Saturn where they would go to worship and they would give their sacrifices. It said that a wintergreen tree would grow up overnight from a dead stump, and from it, Nimrod would secretly return with around the same time each year with gifts that would be around the tree. The evergreen tree and the winter tree, this is why we have those particular trees that are incorporated in the whole Christmas Saturnalia thing. This is where it comes from. And I know you guys have probably seen this, and so you see that there's the stump, which is supposed to be Nimrod, where he was cut down by his enemy, and he was shaved of all of his branches. But then in the back, you see a new tree, and supposedly new trees were supposed to grow up in their term, be reincarnated, and he would come back secretly, and then he would lay gifts. And one of the reasons why we also give gifts during the time of Christmas. The evergreen tree was a tree also that was used during that time because it was in worship during that time because it was said that it has special mystical powers because it was the only tree during the time of so-called death when you looked around and all the other trees are bare, that it had life. It was still green. And so they worshiped it. They looked at it like, you know, there were spirits inside of it that kept it alive. The Druids, they would tie apples to the branches to thank the god Odin, who was also considered a sun god, and they hung lighted candles in honor of the sun, all these things that bore light. I don't want to repeat a lot of stuff. I'm just going to say some things. During the time when they had the candles, when they made those candles, they were making those candles out of the fat of the sacrificed children. And they would mold them into candles and they would put them on the tree as part of paying homage to their sun god. In modern time, it's kind of dangerous, and we know that, to put flames on a tree. So we have lighted plugs that we can hook into sockets in the walls, but it's a way of still giving homage to the sun god because it is bearing light. Also, they would hang the apples. Because any god that you were going to serve back then, you wanted to appease the god by giving it some kind of offering of food or something sweet or a wine, okay? The round shape of it, which is why we hang balls on our trees, is because What does it remind you of? It's circular like what? Like the sun. And so everything, when you look at the different things that are connected to Christmas, all show that it stems from paganistic worship of the sun. in Roman time, when the gladiators would fight during the time of the festival of the Saturnalia, the gladiators knew and the spectators all knew that when the gladiators went to fight, that that shed blood when they died was in homage to the sun god. And sometimes what they would do is they would take the heads of these individuals and they would be part of the decorations and they would hang them from the trees. Because a part of that also is our heads are pretty much in a round form. But it was something else to appease the god. Some of this was very hard for me to think about, and it was just so much stuff, and I was like, wow, I it's such a gruesome holiday. I can't see how something like this could go so far, and it hasn't been as bad as it was back then because it was Christmas. When the Puritans left England and they came to America, they knew the gruesomeness of it. And they did not want to have anything to do with the festival of it. And up until 1820, Christmas was banned because it was so bad. What happened was a lot of Christmas itself, the traditions and everything that went along with it went underground. And usually what they would do is they would have their trees and everything outside and they would decorate them outside. But because it was banned and outlawed, what they did was then they brought the trees inside the house. And this is why we bring trees inside of our house. One of the reasons why we bring trees inside of our house to pay homage, because they did not want to stop doing what they were doing. They wanted to continue to serve and worship the sun god. And sometimes you may go by a home and you'll see like lights in the window. The lights would, they would put candles or lights in their windows to acknowledge to other people that they were worshiping and they were taking part in the festival, because they had to be secretive about it, but that was what they would do. So that other people that were celebrating it, that was like their code, so that they all knew. And so that's another way in which we partake in it, by putting lights and decorating lights in our homes. The mistletoe. I don't even feel like reading through this. I really don't. Because I know a bit of it. The mistletoe had to also do with, because it wasn't something that actually grew from the ground like a tree. It was something that grew on a tree, like part of it. And it was believed that it had some type of mysticism to it. And the berries, of course, on it were round. They believed that that was something also that they felt that it had powers in it from the roundness of the berries. But anything that was green, holly, any kind of greeneries, especially holly, the mistletoe, it was all stated to have some type of mystical, magical power to it. And when they would take it in Wiccan and Druidic worship, when they would do spells or whatever, they would take it and they would put it in a circular form, which is where we get the wreaths from. And we decorate our doors with wreaths. The women would put the wreath around their head, and it was stated that when it was in this form, that it held more of a mystical power to it, that it would give them a... a way of being able to captivate. And underneath of that, they fell into like a submissive kind of force or power. And men were supposed to be, I guess, drawn to them more. And so when you have mistletoe that is hung in the home or wherever it's hung and a woman goes under it, it's something that is one of the reasons why we give a kiss under the mistletoe, because it was supposed to be a form of rendering a woman to be helpless under that mistletoe. It rendered them helpless. So whoever came to them was able to do whatever it was that they wanted to them, and the woman was not supposed to push them away. She was supposed to allow them to have her way with them, because she put that there so that she could have this aura and, you know, power or whatever over the guy. Other things that have to do with the Saturnalia Festival. During that time, has anyone ever heard of the Feast of Fools? It goes into the 12 days of Christmas. During that time, it was supposed to be a time of merriment, eating, drinking, you know, doing all kind of things. And there was a role reversal that would take place, where if you were in a palace and you were a king, then you would change places with your servants. And so then the servant would be able to do whatever he wanted to do for those 12 days. And the reason why they had a crown, because that roundness symbolized the sun. That's why we have round things to put on our heads as kings. It all symbolized the sun. But they would switch places. The slaves would switch places with their masters in the home, and they got to do whatever it was that they wanted. But after the end of the 12 days was over, that individual that switched that place would then be sacrificed to the god, and they had to die. Most times, if they were in a house, the slaves among them would be the ones to pick who was going to be the one that was going to be chosen. And yeah, you better live it up for them 12 days, because at the end of them 12 days, you know your days are numbered, you're going to die. So they did whatever they wanted to do, and they literally got their heart's wish, desire, whatever it was they wanted. Also, during the time of festivals, and understand, children were also allowed to participate, as there are children that participate in it nowadays, just not to this extent. Children got to participate in this. They had orgies during this time. The law in Rome was banned for the whole 12 days. The law was banned. There were no courts open, no schools open, no businesses, except for if you were a baker or a cook, which is when you look in the world today, why all businesses shut down on Christmas. Okay, everything shuts down. No courthouses, nothing federal is going to be open, nothing with the government is going to be open. Everything shut down, and people were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. They could murder, they could have orgies in the street, they could rape, they could kill, they could steal, they could do whatever it was that they wanted to do, and it was allowed. When they would go around caroling, part of their caroling, they, because of the revelry and everything that they were doing, they would go around caroling naked. And sometimes when they were caroling naked, they would engage in licentious acts, having sex sometimes right there in front of the people that they are caroling. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want no neighbors coming around my place having sex in front of me while they singing some so-called Christmas songs. But this is what they did in part of their festivities. This is why we do some of the things that we do, why we go from place to place and we carol and we sing. It's all connected. We don't do these things for no reason. These are traditions that are paganistic, that have been brought down from ancient time. By 270 AD, Aurelia, the Roman emperor, had made it official that it was going to be a holiday. And in Massachusetts, this festival had gotten so out of hand, and in New York, they actually had to set up police officers to maintain some of the rioting that they were doing and the murders and all that stuff that they were doing. And basically what I told my kids is, when you look at that movie, Purge is nothing but Christmas. It's the same thing, because they were people for a day in Purge are allowed to do whatever it is that they want to do. During these 12 days of the Saturnalia festival, people got to do whatever it was that they wanted to do. And believe me, if you had an enemy that you wanted to get rid of, it was okay to go kill him. And nobody was gonna say nothing. If you seen something that you wanted to have and you ain't have the money to pay for it, well, guess what? It was okay to go steal it. And nobody was gonna say anything. It was part of what you did. And if you're going to now be festive about it, well, I guess I would be festive now about something that I got that I've been wanting to have for so long, whether it was revenge on an enemy or getting, you know, some materialistic thing, but this is all a part of it. There's some other things that I need to say. Let me go back here. Here we have the Baal worship, and this is what they would do, like I said, giving sacrifice. Things that we don't really look at, these are all related. This here is Father Time, Old Father Time, and I don't know if this is gonna work. I don't know if it's gonna work. Okay, whatever. You see, Father Time is looking there at the time, and on the right side in the dark sackcloth are supposedly representations of the old year going out. And the new year is this little boy, and you see there's a bunch of little kids that are coming in. And we all have heard of baby new year. The new year is coming in like a baby, and it's coming in to Father Time, who is going to consume them and eat them because they are sacrifices. This is just a hidden way of showing what it is. And you can't really see it, but underneath of where baby new year is, there are flames that are supposed to be coming up that go into the sacrifice of the child. This is the Grim Reaper. He's nothing but Saturn, who is the god. He's got the scythe, and if you notice, Father New Year also has a scythe in his hand. He has a scythe, he's got time, he's, okay, again, Father Time, and all connected. And then what do we have here? Santa is also known as Saturn. And what do? We give him our children as a sacrifice, because we don't like to tell the truth about who is the real person that gives gifts. This person has nothing to do with God. This is Satan. We have to stop giving our kids the sacrifices. But all three of these are all Saturn. They're all connected. They're all the same. I was really burdened with wanting to tell this because of all the different things that go into it. Like, one of the other things that they did, we've heard of eating figgy pudding during this time. The pudding that they ate during that time was blood pudding. These people, one of the things that you have to understand with Satan is he loves blood. He loves blood. He feeds off of that because the Bible says that there's life in the blood. And most satanic, paganistic things have to do with shedding blood, giving some kind of a sacrifice. Also, if you have heard about the Yule log, Yule was supposed to represent the god Yule. We spell Yule Y-U-L-E, but the god Yule is J-U-L-E. And a Yule log during the 12 days of the Saturnalia Festival was supposed to be a big log, was supposed to be taken and cut down and formed into the shape of a fertility emblem or symbol, which is, it could be shaped like a breast, it could be shaped like a man's genitalia, like whatever. And it was supposed to be kept burning for 12 days. Every day that the Yule log burned, a sacrifice was supposed to be burned on that log, whether it was human or whether it was animal, but mostly it was human sacrifices. This holiday, to me, is more gruesome than Halloween, and it lasts longer. I am by no means perfect. I want to be. When I teach my children, I try to teach them the truth, and I've always taught them the truth about Christmas, and we've never celebrated it. My kids got used to not having a tree in the house, not honoring Santa Claus, knowing that if somebody was giving them their gifts, it was coming from me. And I didn't have to just scramble around and try to hurry up to get a whole bunch of gifts up for one particular day. Me and my brother were taught the truth about Christmas and Santa Claus when we were young. I remember we lived on Main Street, and I don't know if you remember this. We lived on Main Street. And Christmas was supposed to be the next day. And Billy was like, well, Mom, if we're supposed to get gifts, how is Santa going to give us our gifts because we don't have a chimney? And she's like, you know, Billy, you're right. She's like, and I ain't going to lie to you no more. I'm just going to let you know. Mommy is y'all Santa Claus. And we were very young, and she told us, anybody that gives you any gifts, it don't come from no man that, you know, don't have nothing to do with helping me pay my bills the rest of the, you know, the whole rest of the year. No, they come from Mommy. I've taken things a step farther, and I've never allowed my children to ever believe in something that is not of God, because when that child gets older, they will be crushed and devastated because you lied to them. And what does that do with their faith in you and their faith in God? They are supposed to be established in the truth. And how are they going to believe anything that you tell them after you just lied to them for so many years about something that does not exist? It's very hard. We don't believe in tooth fairies. I found out about the tooth fairy not being real the one day that I had a tooth and I didn't tell my mom that it came out my mouth, and I went to sleep with it in my hand underneath of the pillow. I woke up the next day and the tooth was still in my hand, and I cried my little heart out. I went to my mom and I said, Mom, what's wrong with my tooth? And she's like, what do you mean? And I showed her. I said, the tooth fairy never gave me any money for my tooth. And she said, Monique, I didn't know that you had a tooth that came out. I said, well, you know, the tooth fairy was supposed to know. She's like, Mommy's the tooth fairy. I said, no. And she was going to, you know, give me some money. But I cannot see doing something like that. When I say I try to teach my children the truth, and year by year, as I come into a deeper understanding of when I gain more knowledge about things that are around me, how we're supposed to be as Christians, and what it is that we're supposed to know, I try to step farther and farther away from things that are of the world. And it's very hard. It's very challenging. I told my kids, I said, you know, I get discouraged when I look at our church, and we're supposed to be said to be this denomination of people that's so different. Yet we have decorated in our church greenery. We have a tree that's out there, and some of it may be from lack of understanding why those things are there. But at the same time, why would we need to have them there in the first place? Because we're not supposed to do the same things that other churches do. We are supposed to be so different. We don't need holiday parties. We shouldn't have them. Why do we need to have a holiday party? And if we're going to have it, why have it at the same time that the rest of the world is celebrating? Because we are following the same tradition that the world has done, because of the way that, like I started with the word church, the Roman Catholic Church, and how they adopted into their organization pagans and all of their paganistic rituals, and allowed those things to be in the church to appease them. And so those things have branched off into our church, and we're supposed to have the truth and know the truth and be so different. I won't be attending any more holiday parties because of things that I've learned. The things that I share, again, I try to put them out there, because we say that Christ is coming and we want to be ready, but how ready do we really want to be? What little things are we doing that actually show and signify that we're making that heartfelt change inside, that we really are trying to be different, that we don't care about being questioned why we do this or why we don't do that? I told my kids that even this year, I'm not even going to put up lights. And that's something that I used to do. I'm not even going to do that because I've seen what it all represents. And even to think of how the fat of babies that were sacrificed, children were used to make candles. My biggest wish is that all of us come on one accord. Like I said, God bless me to make it to heaven. I pray that everybody else here makes it too. The change has to start somewhere, and we can't care about what somebody else says, what somebody else thinks. Nobody else is in control of my salvation but me, and I have the choice to either keep it or lose it, and so do you. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, I pray that your spirit will go with us. Please be with those that have heard this word, and I pray that it will stay with them, and that everyone would take into account the things that they've heard, Father, and in some way, no matter how big or how small, that they would make a change for you in their heart today. In Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen.